The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our program on this Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020, where we are practicing social distancing, safe social distancing, while bringing people together on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. I like the way people talk about these uncertain times. Well, I think you could probably say that any time in one's life is pretty uncertain, but maybe this time more so than others. In his 40-year Washington career, Terry Bracey has been asked by three presidents of both parties to serve in appointed positions. Most recently, he has been involved with the Tucson-based Udall Foundation, and he worked with Congressman Morris K. Udall as an aide for many years. Terry went on to high-level positions in three presidential campaigns. Had a three-year stint as the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. Terry is senior partner in Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and Pima Community College, a couple of very important clients. Terry on the live line with us now from a very troubled Washington, D.C. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Well, Bill, it's kind of an important day for everybody, isn't it? I'm kind of hoping that some of this anger will ease off a bit, and maybe we can discuss things more rationally. How are things going in Tucson?
Well, we are under, as you know, Terry, for the first time in Arizona history, we are under a statewide curfew. That went into effect on Saturday, the night after, 24 hours after we had problems in downtown Tucson, about $200,000 in damage, I guess, on a national scene or scale. That doesn't seem a lot, Terry, but I'll tell you, a lot of the windows and glass broken. These were restaurants that were just getting ready to reopen. Folks have tried so hard, as you know, Terry Bracey, to bring downtown Tucson back, and then this happens. It's very, very discouraging to a lot of people here in town, Terry.
I bet it is. I heard El Charro, one of my favorite places, was had a lot of broken windows. And, you know, people have a lot of broken lives, too. And this is a very serious time in our country. Sometimes, Bill, I feel like I'm bicycling backwards over the last 50 years, as you must. I mean, I grew up in a segregated city, St. Louis, and it wasn't until I was 12 years old that the Supreme Court outlawed segregation, but it carried on in a de facto way. And I have seen through my life, and hopefully been a very small part of, a movement to improve race relations, and I've seen so many improvements, and remarkably so, and yet it's still there. And yet we've yet to really, really deal with the racial issues, and it explodes.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we have an outrage like this, and it just explodes.
And it's a 400.
I think the mayor of Tucson and the police chief and the city council have done a great job there. I don't know why the governor has to get into it, but I guess he did.
Well, 1968, we have some very vivid memories, Terry. I know that you were in the midst of the 68 riots, correct?
Oh, yeah. Nancy and I, sadly, were in the very midst of it. I was working at the time for Congressman Mo Udall. And, you know, Bill, from my office window, suddenly I could see the smoke rising from Northeast Washington. And I wondered, what's going on? Well, shortly thereafter, I rushed home, went over the Southwest Freeway, which was then been a place where sniper fire was happening. And it was quite a time.
Where,
chaos in our world.
Where were you living then at the time?
We had a two-bedroom apartment above a liquor store, which was a bad place to be.
Not a good place in a riot.
No, we were on M Street above a liquor store. Not the best location. We had a three-week-old infant, and when I arrived home, he was having a medical crisis. So it was a day that Nancy and I will never forget.
I think the rioting, as I recall, there went on for about several days, didn't it, Terry?
Well, it went on for a while. The intense part went on for about 3 days, and it got so bad that President Johnson put Washington under martial law. Of course, it was a federal city, and put martial under martial law and brought in the troops from Fort Bragg. We had tanks in the street in front of our house. I remember Nancy opened the place up to the troops and served them coffee and, you know, let them use the facilities and whatnot. What I recall is the troops were as scared as we were. It was a terrible feeling out there.
Yeah, it was a very terrible feeling. And I was, in 1968, a young kid armed with only a Leica Flex camera at Grant Park in Chicago, my hometown, shooting a lot of photographs, which I've got to get out someday and really archive them, because there's some really incredible images there that week in August at the Democratic Convention of 68. And I think you've got some memories, too, of 68 at the convention.
I was there, yeah. Actually, that's another story, but I was there, and I'd love to see your pictures.
Terry, tell me a little bit about, did this killing of George Floyd, the reaction to it, did you have any inkling at the time that that killing would lead to what we have seen?
No. I'm kind of surprised. You know, we've seen visceral responses. Not long ago, for example, a year ago or so, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and you understood it, and it was it carried on in St. Louis for quite a while, and it had something of a national following. But this has touched off a worldwide reaction. I think there's something inherent in this act that we all witnessed on tape that's so terrible as to awaken all races to police actions which never can be tolerated. I know they aren't in Tucson. I know they aren't.
No, I mean, it's just no one. There's no excuse for what we saw from the officer and then several of the officers who were standing by it. It's really sickening. What about the president's response to this, Terry Bracey?
Well, I've seen several presidents deal with civil unrest, you know, from Lyndon Johnson all the way to Barack Obama. And they have done it with sort of two common things, with strength and with empathy. Now, this approach has been effective in calming things down after a while so that local officials can begin to talk. President Trump instead has chosen another approach, and we'll just have to see. The really important leaders, as in the COVID crisis, Bill, I think have been the mayors and the governors, who so far have been working together and doing a hell of a job, so my bet's with them.
You have to wonder about the impact, of course, on the election. In 1968, it had a profound, the rioting in Chicago, and to the chance of the whole world is watching, had a very profound effect on getting Richard Nixon elected as the law and order candidate. And hurting very much Vice President Humphrey. How do you think this is going?
Well, it's hard to say, Bill, but all the polling evidence so far is it seems to be bad news for the president. Unless there's some remarkable economic recovery, I think there's a good chance that the Republicans are going to lose both houses of Congress and the presidency. And I think their leadership is sensing it, and that's why they're trying to rush through as many federal judge appointments as possible through the Senate. You know, Bill, in 68, when you had that effect of American voters, 89% were white. This year, 69%, maybe as little as 65% are white. So the makeup of the country has changed dramatically.
Good point, Terry. And of course, Arizona, a keystone to this election in the Senate.
Well, excuse me. I doubt myself, as I said, that this election will be close. But if it is, Arizona becomes a crucial state for both parties. In addition, the Arizona Senate race is perhaps the most watched in the nation this year. You have a strong incumbent senator in Martha McSally, but she's facing a spectacularly qualified Democratic candidate in former astronaut Mark Kelly. In a close election, if there is one, the result in Arizona could determine the presidency and control of the Senate.
Very, very important election. Terry, we live in uncertain times, to say the least, right? I want to wish you and yours the best, and stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thank you. Terry Bracey with us on the Live Line from Washington, D.C. Coming up next on the Live Line, Shelley Fishman will be joining us, our financial consultant commentator. He'll have some very interesting things to say about the interesting times we live in. Be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Shelly Fishman is a nice guy as well, and he's with us on the live line right now. How are you, Shelly?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, trying to hang in there in these uncertain times, to say the least. Shelly, I've had a lot of people ask me over the last day or so, why are the markets not reacting to what we're seeing, the violence in the streets?
And how did you respond?
Well, I happened to have done or had seen a piece, I think it was on CNBC, that in 1968, the market was actually doing quite well through the summer of violence in 68. So I don't know. I don't really know. I guess markets look past these things, right?
They do. That's exactly right, Bill. Oh. And markets try to look past what's happening in the moment to the next couple of quarters, especially quarters of corporate earnings. And so long as they don't think that the turmoil that's going on is going to be long-lasting or permanent, the markets will try to shrug that kind of thing off. Now, markets couldn't shrug off the pandemic, and we lost, from 28,000 down to 18,000. It's come back to about 25,000. Interestingly, what we're seeing now, as the economy tries to reopen, the economists and the various large banking houses are revising their forecasts of where the market might go. And, for instance, Citigroup just over the weekend said that the markets hadn't seen their worst days yet and warned that any resurgence of the pandemic here in the country or around the world could cause the markets to go down yet again. And Goldman Sachs, interestingly, had a negative 20% forecast from where the markets were a couple of weeks ago, and then revised that over the weekend to reflect the optimism that the markets had been showing and are now saying that downside is only about 10%, which really brings Citigroup and Goldman into about the same area that we should see those markets steady out at around 23,000 in the Dow, which would be a price-to-earnings ratio of about 18%, which is normal.
Terry Bracey, and I know you were listening to Terry's comments. He had some very interesting things to say and about this whole issue of confusion. And markets do fear confusion when it comes to leadership, do they not?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we've always said that markets hate uncertainty.
Right.
But they fear confusion because for corporations to do their forecasting, to build out the infrastructure they need to build out, to produce what they need to produce, they need some sense of certainty. Not necessarily certainty about what customers are going to do, but what customers are going to be able to do. And that's what we're not seeing now. And we're not seeing a steadying influence from our leadership in Washington. And as a result, we see this turmoil every day. We see a couple of hundred points up, a couple of hundred points down, or even several hundred point swings during the day. And that is a result of fear, fear of there being confusion around what the future might hold.
The real recovery, and I know they look pretty much quarterly, isn't really when they do their crystal ball gazing. It's more on a year-to-year basis. So how does 2021 then look, Shelly Fishman?
Well, you're exactly right, because if you look at any forecast on a quarter-over-quarter basis or a month-over-month basis, what you're going to see is variations from the prior period. So if markets are down 40% in quarter one, and then they recover 20% of that 40%, they've gone up 50%. So if you wanted to articulate that in a short-term way, you could say, hey, it's been a great quarter. We're up 50% when we're really down 20% over two quarters. And so, you know, that's an opportunity for, they say, figures don't lie, but liars figure. That's the kind of thing we've been hearing from the administration. We've been hearing things from Peter Navarro and Larry Kudlow that we're going to see a 30% increase in the third quarter. That may very well be true, but it's still going to be down 10 or 15 or more points from the prior year. And those kinds of statements are, number one, meant to be misleading, and number two, reflect a sense of optimism that is not where the markets really are going right now. The markets are being very cautious, and they're reflecting the fear and confusion rather than any sense of certainty. So be very cautious when you hear short-term forecasts. Go back at least a year, preferably go back 10.
Keeping with our theme of uncertainty on the Buckmaster Show today, where does cash come in uncertain times?
That's a great question. So one of the reasons that you do get pronouncements like we got over the weekend from places like Citigroup and Goldman is they're trying to coach their investors as to what kind of tactical adjustments they might make in their portfolios to take advantage of what the conditions are. You know, the old cliche among market analysts is that bears make money and bulls make money and pigs never do. So what we're looking for here is if you have a bearish view of where the markets are going to be, then is there a strategy that you can put into your portfolio that might take advantage of some downside movement and take advantage of some potential volatility to the upside during a period of bullishness, of bearishness? And so what this is intended to do is say, to the extent that you can harvest some cash out of gains over the past year, and there have been several gains that you could see could be harvested, this might be a good time to accumulate cash and then reinvest that cash during short-term periods when the market is down and you're buying things literally in a depressed market. Now, I have to say that for most investors, for most individual investors, that is both a risky strategy because you're trying to time the market and doesn't take into view the longer term, which is what is your strategy, what's your risk tolerance, stick with it. But for what I call tactical investors, the big guys, the hedge funds, the pension funds, those guys are looking to take advantage of short-term movement, and they can do it effectively, especially when they get some consensus among the people who watch markets and forecast where those markets are going. They can use that to make not strategic moves, but tactical moves to improve their returns in the short term.
Market timing is very dangerous, though, for an individual investor, generally speaking.
Market timing is impossible for an individual investor. Now, that's not to say you can't get lucky. You can. But market timing is the single largest determinator of bad investment performance that there is in the galaxy. So just to give you an example, markets over the past 40 or 50 years have averaged between 11 and 12% return during that period of time. The average investor has gained 3%, and the reason is that they sell low and buy high because they're trying to time the market and they get it wrong.
And again, Shelley, I've got only about a minute. If you could summarize from the low, which I believe we hit around St. Patrick's Day, where are we now on the Dow generally on the low?
Well, we were up at around 28,000. We're down at around 18,000 on the Dow. We're sitting today at around 25,000. So that's more than halfway back. Mm-hmm. And that's a good sign. If Citigroup and Goldman are right, we'll come down to about 23,000, which is about halfway there. So that's where they tend to see the next quarter going. And that, by the way, is consistent with my analysis as well. So my crystal ball says be very, very cautious in this market. Don't think that it's all going to come back right away.
And my crystal ball, Shelley Fishman, says we are out of time.
Oh, gosh.
Shelley, stay well and take care of yourself. And soon we'll have you back here as we are gradually reopening the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. So I'll look forward to seeing you face to face very soon. Of course, maintaining safe distancing. Thanks, Shelley.
You need to promise me a Kringle when I get back there.
Oh, I think that would be a wonderful welcome home gift for you, Shelley Fishman. Thank you very much.
You too, Bill. See you.
Thanks. Shelley Fishman with always good advice for us. We'll also have some great advice coming up on where are we right now with the whole COVID-19 situation. Dr. Ray Woosley, we're going to spend a half an hour, expand his normal segment a bit today to kind of get caught up on what's going on with CV coronavirus. It's kind of the six-month point. At least that's the way the New York Times today viewed it. Where are we really since this whole thing emerged on the world scene about 6 months ago? Dr. Woosley is standing by on the live line. We'll take our break right now from CBS Network News, Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. So many people during the shutdown decided to take up a new hobby. Well, It's right in their backyard, gardening. And Green Things is your gardening center here in Southern Arizona. They're very convenient and beautiful, 13-acre site over on River Road. Just about everything, amazing plants that you could, anything you could pretty much think of, they've got at Green Things, ready for your summer planting. Good source, greenthingsaz.com is a good starting place. Also, they're home to Zocalo Village, all that wonderful handcrafted merchandise from Mexico and Latin America, and their website is zocalovillageaz.com. It's time for our monthly segment here on the Buckmaster Show, focusing on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean. He's the founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. He is currently a professor of medicine up at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Dr. Woosley's latest venture, which couldn't be more timely in the world of COVID-19, is something called Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by thousands of people from over 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley with us on the live line. How are you today?
Good, Bill. Thanks for the chance to talk again. It's amazing that we've been doing this for 6 months on this topic.
We have. We're at the six-month anniversary from when COVID-19 first emerged on the scene. Of course, it started off, there were reports coming out of China, and people in this country, Dr. Woosley, didn't really pay it much attention. Well, here we are 6 months later. It seems like the cases, and it not just seems like they are, the cases in Arizona have been going up, but some of that has to be from more testing, wouldn't you agree?
Indeed, that's part of it. But the other data that are really what we should watch are also a concern. That is the number of hospitalizations and the number of deaths. Those are hard numbers, not influenced by things that we can do like testing.
When you look at what's going on, Ray Woosley, not only with reopening of businesses, pretty much in every state, with the exception perhaps California's slower and Oregon and maybe Washington and some of the East Coast states. But now with the street demonstrations, it's almost like you can forget social distancing in a lot of places. And we may be going to what they call a herd immunity situation. Some of your thoughts on what we're seeing.
Well, you know, it's like anything, somebody beating on your head with a stone, actually, you become dull to it after a while. I think we've been battling this virus as a nation, and there's three things going on. There's places like New York that have been just devastated by it that are slowly getting better. There are a lot of states that are not getting much worse, and we're in that category. And then there's about a third of the states that are just doing like New York did. They're rapidly escalating. So we've got sort of a mixture in a steady state that is slowly growing because some are getting better and some are getting worse. But the concern I have is that with Memorial Day weekend, a lot changed in many states. And now with the demonstrations, there's a huge risk that a week or two from now, we're likely to see the New York experience in many communities around the country. And I don't want to hang crepe. We've been here for a while. We've known that it could take off, and I think it's likely that it's going to continue at the current pace, which is unacceptable. But there's not a lot we can do about it except to continue to do what we know works. And that's, as you mentioned, social distancing, wearing a mask, and washing our hands regularly and being aware of the people around us. And if we're sick, stay home. But I think we are at a new steady state that we've grown, unfortunately, I think many of us have grown accustomed to.
Are there any drugs that are now effective for the treatment of COVID-19?
Not in the way we would like. You know, there's really no way to stop the illness. There's one drug, remdesivir, an antiviral drug, that in one study shortened the hospitalization by about 4 to 5 days. And that's a very good start. But it's there's no evidence that it prevents death. And those studies are still ongoing. And I think most of the antiviral experts, like Tony Fauci of the NIH, believe that it's like AIDS. We're going to need a combination of drugs to treat this virus, and that's going to take a lot of time and effort. But right now, we've got the glimmer of a hope that a drug has an effect on the virus, and therefore it means that other drugs could be even more effective.
Has some of the talk about what's commonly referred as HCQ, the chloroquine, has that died down a little bit?
I think so. Hydroxychloroquine or HCQ or chloroquine are the two antimalarials that were being hyped and promoted as a game changer based on no data. And now that we have some very large studies available, one of them, 96,000 patients treated, 96,000 patients with severe COVID treated, a third of them with hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine. There was a 35% increased death rate in the people who were treated, and 135% increase in the number of people who had a life-threatening arrhythmia, 135% difference. So it's not a perfect study, but it sure doesn't give you much hope that those drugs are doing anything good. And it confirms what we've known about these drugs. I mean, over a year ago, Credible Meds put hydroxychloroquine on the list of drugs known to cause sudden death and cardiac arrhythmias. And when hydroxychloroquine was first talked about as a drug and people saying, well, what could it hurt? I actually had an op-ed in USA Today saying, what could it hurt? It could take your life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we've known is a problem. And now the 96,000 patient experience confirms what we've already known. And yes, it's used for arthritis and it's used for malaria and it's been relatively safe in that population. But that has nothing to do, really, with the patients with COVID who are much sicker and are exactly like the people that these drugs can cause more likely cause harm. You know, drugs are approved for a certain use for certain patients because they are expected to have benefit and more benefit than harm. We had no evidence that these drugs would be providing any benefit, and we only knew that they could cause harm. So they've been banned in some countries. In Arizona, most hospitals either discourage their use or ban their use and will not let doctors prescribe those drugs anymore.
When this did emerge on the scene here about 6 months ago, the medical folks were telling us the earliest we could see a vaccine would be a year to 18 months. Well, we've got 6 months roughly out of the way. Where do you see? There's been talk that we could see some kind of in very limited use. I think the Oxford University group is talking about September for limited use of a vaccine. How do you see this, Dr. Ray Woosley?
Well, I think the facts are that it takes time to find out if a vaccine is effective. You've got to give it to people and then wait and see if they get the virus. And that there's no way to shorten that. So you can treat more people with the vaccine, and we're going to have multiple vaccines to be tested, which is going to help. But to really, we could, within 6 months, I think, have a vaccine that we think works, but we won't know how safe it is. Safety takes time and lots of numbers to expose people. So I think the best case scenario is maybe a drug being used in large number, I mean, a vaccine, sorry, being used in large numbers of people within 6 months without assurance that it's that safe. 18 months from now, I'm hoping and I believe there's a chance that we could have vaccines that are safe and are being the use of which is are being expanded. But it takes a lot of time to make these multiple doses and get them shipped around the world and around the country. And I think it's going to be very challenging to have anything before a year.
All right, we're going to keep Dr. Woosley over for a little longer. Normally he does one segment with us, but there's so much more I want to talk to him about COVID-19. So we'll keep him around for the fourth segment today in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. It is the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question for Dr. Woosley, we've got the live line available for you, 790-2040. If you have any questions about COVID-19, then now would be a great time to pick up the phone and talk with Dr. Ray Woosley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's cooler over there. Their elevation is 5,000 to 7,000 feet. And we were just checking the midday. Well, they're an hour ahead of us time-wise. They had about 87 degrees in Silver City. We're about 6 or 7 degrees warmer here in Tucson, but the high here, I think, Tom Fairbanks, is going to be about 104 today.
That's what the prediction is.
Yeah,
and we're right around 95, 96 now.
And Silver City will be around midnight.
10 degrees cooler?
Yeah, 10 degrees cooler. So that's what we usually say during the summer months here when we're telling folks that Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, would be a great getaway. 3-hour drive. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, a good starting place of places to stay and things to do over there. And cooler weather always sounds good, doesn't it, in Tucson, Arizona in June. Let's join now Dr. Ray Woosley back on the live line with us from Credible Meds and former UA College of Medicine Dean. Dr. Woosley, what can we do? Are there some simple things that could be done to lessen our chances of getting COVID-19?
That's right. And I think it's important to remember that no medicine has been proven to prevent COVID. And we talked about the treatment of serious COVID patients, but the prevention is still something that isn't available. We have nothing that we know of. And it's important to make that point because there are on the internet a lot of people saying they've got the cure or the ability for you to prevent COVID. And that is dangerous because it gives people a false sense of surety that they could be exposed and not get the illness when it's there's no prevention. There are drugs or treatments like zinc, hydroxychloroquine, and chloroquine are still being promoted to prevent COVID. But there's no way to prevent it other than the simple things we talked about, which we, you know, we can see the effects of in a city like New York, where staying home, staying out of crowds, self-distance by 6 or more feet, wear a mask, not only to protect yourself, but also to protect those around you, because a third of people who get COVID are transmitting it for a few days before they know they're ill. And so things like washing your hands frequently, use the sanitizers. There's been a lot of confusion about whether you can get COVID from surfaces. It's true. A study came out of CDC saying that most people who get it from the droplets that are in the air when you're talking or when you're sneezing or coughing. But you can get it from surfaces. And I think we need to continue to use our Clorox wipes on those frequently touched things like our phone and the railings. Try not to touch your face. I think if you cough or sneeze, do so in a tissue and then throw it away. Don't put it back in your pocket where you could expose someone else to it later.
Well, it is one of the symptoms can be kind of a stomach ache, coarse fever, cough. But this one about sinus congestion, I'll tell you, this has been the month of May was just terrible for the allergies. Normally we travel, kind of go on vacation in May. We didn't do it this year. So we were here in Tucson. Boy, did I pay the price. So it's tough to tell when you've got sinus congestion. Is it possibly a precursor to COVID or is it just allergies?
Yeah, I think right now for most of us, including myself, allergies is going to be the most frequent cause of the sinus congestion and the itchy eyes and things like that. It's when you start feeling the aches and definitely when you get the fever and when you start having the cough that you need to contact your physician. They can decide if testing is going to be of value for you. You know, testing's an interesting thing to consider. Testing is something that public health workers use as part of the way to suppress infections from viruses like this. But doctors use the test to know whether you've got it or not. And then if the test is positive, then you can track down people that were in contact with you. And it's important to remember there's two, at least, kinds of tests that we're talking about here. There's the test that you're looking for the virus and you're looking for the RNA in that virus. It's a DNA type test to see if the virus is present or not. And then the other kind of test that we talk about is the antibody test to see if your body has been exposed and made antibodies to the virus. Now, unfortunately, the viral test, well, fortunately, I should say, the viral test is pretty accurate. Not too many false negatives or positives. But the antibody tests that we have available today are no more accurate than flipping a coin.
Wow.
So they're would not recommend those at this point in time.
Are we getting any better with them? I know the University of Arizona developed one of these antibody tests. So your recommendation, you're saying it's about as accurate as flipping a coin generally, these tests. So you would say wait a bit on the antibody tests.
Right. I was speaking about all the general antibody tests that are being offered.
Right.
The U of A has a very aggressive testing program for both virus and antibodies, and I think the data, they'll have the data to know whether their test is reliable or not, and they'll submit it to the FDA. But the tests that have been available previously are the ones I was referring to. And I think we will have a reliable antibody test, and that's going to be really important.
But the problem is you don't know who to go to for, you know, these tests that are being marketed just about everywhere. So unless it is like the one at the U of A, you would say wait.
Indeed, I would. And I would rely, again, if you as a person are having symptoms, contact your physician and they will obtain a test that they feel confident will give good results. The public, I don't think, should be going out and buying the tests that are being offered at this point because they don't have the data to know whether it's reliable or not, like their physician would. And they don't have any way to know if the test is going to be reliable for them. And even if it were negative today, you may be exposed tomorrow or the next day. So without the symptoms, the test is not that helpful to you as an individual.
And there, 30 to 50% of the people can be asymptomatic on this.
Exactly. So it's one of the worst sort of collections of events. We have a new virus that no one has experience with. It's rapidly transmitted, and it's transmitted before you get symptoms. So that's just the worst possible combination of characteristics for a virus, and the one that makes it likely that we're going to be fighting this thing for some time.
CredibleMeds.org. Quickly, tell us about it.
Credible Meds is a nonprofit. Credible Meds is a website that's maintained by a nonprofit that's based in Oro Valley, that's been around for 20 years trying to analyze evidence and make it available to the public on how to use medicines safely. And so we encourage everybody to go to that webpage. We released a new program. Arizona CERT has made available a program called Med Safety Scan that you can put in all your medicines, you can put in your characteristics, and you can find out if you are at risk of harm from your medicines, either due to effects on your heart or on due to effects from drug interactions that could be.
Dr. Woosley, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thank you, Bill. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.